is Tuesday, February 6th, 2018, and you've tuned into the Geeky Gay program. God, it sounds so old when I say Geeky Gay program. You've tuned in to the Geeky Gay program. And after this, we're going to have, I don't know. But anyway, program sounds very old-fashioned. Like you're tuning in to the show on one of those old tube TVs. You know, one of those big, large, furniture-size, huge TVs that, you know, that you could call the repairman to get them worked on. And, you know, they're not flat screen. They're super heavy. They have all kinds of stuff built into them. Anyway, I need to come up with an intro. I need to come up with a really, like, snazzy intro. Or maybe I should just pay Auntie Vera or some other voiceover artist to make an intro for the show so I don't have to try to think about what to say. And I can just start by saying, hey, everyone, how's it going? And that'll be it. But I don't know. Anyway, so I'm driving to work, and, you know, the weird thing about this is, or the aggravating thing about work in the morning is, or trying to get to work in the morning, is when I get up before Mark, because what we normally do is I'll cook breakfast, or we either have eggs and toast with peanut butter. No peanut butter on the eggs, but peanut butter on the toast. And it's whole grain toast, and, you know, we're trying to be healthier, and so we'll have, like, one egg apiece and one piece of toast with, I don't know, maybe a half a tablespoon of peanut butter on it, so not a lot. Or we'll have cereal, some kind of whole grain cereal, and instead of using regular milk, which has a lot of fat and calories in it, we'll use almond milk. And, you know, actually, almond milk, I've always thought cow milk was gross. Like, even when I was a kid, I never wanted to drink. Kids love milk, usually. And I absolutely hated milk my entire life. The only time I would use milk is when I was for cereal. You know, it's funny, my mom was dating this guy one time. And this is after, you know, my real dad died when I was 10. And then my mom started dating again probably when I was 12. And she only dated a couple of guys. Actually, she dated one guy, and she was set up with that guy by friends at church. And then the next guy that she dated is my stepdad. So she didn't really date a lot of people. But anyway, so this first guy that she dated, he was a real health nut. And he would eat his cereal with water. He would pour water on his cereal, or sometimes he would pour juice on his cereal. So, like, if he was drinking apple juice or something like that, he would pour apple juice on the cereal, but he wouldn't do it with milk for some reason. Anyway, it was the grossest thing. You need some kind of, I don't know, for some reason with cereal, you need something with a little bit of substance. Like, milk has a little bit of creaminess to it. And you need that with cereal. Like, if you just pour water on it, like, it's just disgusting. But anyway, but almond milk works really well because it's not as gross, because it's not coming out of a cow tit. You know, it's just being squeezed from almonds, which I like almonds. I like nuts. So I'm okay with that. And, you know, they don't taste exactly the same, but, you know, really, milk doesn't have a huge flavor. I mean, there is a flavor, but it's a very kind of, you know, subdued flavor. Well, almond milk also has kind of a subdued flavor. And I can use it. I get the unsweetened, unflavored almond milk. And I can use that in anything that needs milk. Now, I don't mind milk. Like, I would eat milk on my cereal or drink milk with my cereal. I love things with milk in it. You know, I love ice cream. I love things made with milk. I like to bake with, you know, any recipe that has milk in it is fine. I just never really liked to drink milk by itself. And anyway, so almond milk is fine for me. But all that being said, so I fix breakfast, whatever that may be. I have to shower and get ready and get all my stuff together, you know, my laptops and my workout clothes for when I go to the gym and all that, pack the car. If it's really cold, I like to turn the car on before, you know, maybe 5 minutes before I leave. But anyway, the problem is Mark gets up to take his shower. If I shower before him and then get dressed and then start making breakfast, he's not finished. He's not finished getting ready, or he's not to a point where he's fully dressed and stuff so that he can eat breakfast in time, you know, for me to do that. So the timing is wrong. So, you know, and I don't like to get up before him anyway, because I like to sleep as long as possible. But also, if I wait and shower after him, then I have the problem of I'm not showered with breakfast ready in time for him. So he's standing around waiting on me, or he's having to fix. And it's fine. He's capable of fixing breakfast. But it's just something I do because I'm more of the cooker in the house, or more of the cook in the house. But so if he takes his shower first, you know, by the time I take my shower, get dressed, and then go in there and start fixing something for breakfast, you know, it's not a problem, but he's standing around or whatever. And I'm also later for work. So I don't know. It seems like there's no timing that's correct, unless maybe it's if we showered at the same time. But our showers are both kind of small, so we can't shower together. The water pressure in our house, in our condo, is horrible. We have barely any hot water. You guys have heard me talk about the plumbing situation, and that's just getting worse. Even though I called the plumber again like 3 or 4 weeks ago, they never called me back. And, you know, and now, after we go on our Philippines trip, we're only going to have 3 months left in the condo. And I'm trying to decide if it's worth it to go through, because it'll be, you know, weeks to a month or more worth of having the plumber out, them not solving the problem, you know, calling them again, them coming back out. Is that really worth it? Or should we just endure it and then, you know, focus all our energy in finding on a really nice place, you know, place to move? So I don't know. But anyway, and then on top of all of that in the mornings being an issue, we can't shower at the same time. And no matter if I shower before or after him, the timing's all screwed up. And so I'm leaving it. You know, I should be at work at 8 o'clock. Luckily, my manager's really laid back, but I'm leaving the condo at 8 o'clock. And if I leave, so let's say I'm ready at 7:45, because I'm really only about 15 minutes away from work. Or less, depending on traffic. But if I leave at 7:45, that's the time when everybody else is going to work. It at least doubles the time to get to work. So then it's like 30 minutes. So I leave at 7:45, I get there at 8:15, roughly. Then I have to park, and the parking lot's pretty far from everything, so it takes me forever to walk into the building and then get to my desk, because my desk is at the very back of the second building. It's the furthest away from where I park. And anyway, so, you know, I'm not at my desk until like 8:25. Well, then, you know, if I leave at 8 o'clock, it only takes about 15 minutes to get there, so I'm in the parking lot by 8:15, but then I'm not to my desk until like 8:25. And so what I really need to leave is at 7:30. But oh my gosh, it would be so hard for me to, because I don't like to, I don't know, I don't like to get up. Because if I got up at like 6:45 and I took my shower, then I could make breakfast and he could eat before he gets in the shower. That probably would be the best bet. Then while he's showering, I could be finishing drying my hair and everything and getting ready. And then, you know, I could be ready to leave by 7:30, but ugh, I don't know, getting up at that time, I don't know. Anyway, so, all that said, I'm still going to work, and it's 10 after 8 right now, So once again, I'm going to get there about 8:15 and, you know, not get to my desk till 8:25. So one more, I think I told you guys this, but I just wanted to let you know again. So I have confirmed, I have agreed, I have signed the paperwork, I have gotten the new job. So my new title will be Staff Software Engineer. And I filled out a transition plan. I'm trying to get both of the managers, my current manager and my new manager, to agree to having a month of transition, which is really a lot. Because I know the new manager is going to want me to, you know, want to get me on the team so I can start actually doing stuff. But the issue is I have a lot of stuff to transition, and we're still trying to find who it's going to be that I'm going to transition this stuff to. And I had some stuff I was working on that I needed to finish up. And because I go on vacation on March 1st, I don't want to go to the new team, be there a week, you know, or whatever, and then go on vacation and be stressed out or thinking about, oh, you know, I've got to impress my new boss. You know, I these are the things I've got to get done. I've got to do them really well. I want to have a clean slate. You know, I want to be fresh and not thinking about work for my vacation, and then come back and, you know, put the nose to the grindstone or whatever it's called. So we'll see how that goes. But anyway, so I've also been doing a lot of work on Pride 48. And this is a really boring because it's very technical stuff, but the one thing that's not technical is I have put in the paperwork. We've always had a problem because all of the bank account stuff was going to a personal PayPal account. And ultimately we want to be a nonprofit, but I mean, no one's ever going to make profit off of Pride 48. And, you know, we try to have people donate money and stuff like that. We don't really sell a product. So it makes sense. However, it takes a really long time, and there's documentation that you have to, you know, prove that you're a certain type of organization and all that kind of stuff to be a nonprofit, which is very expensive. It probably would cost the amount we spend in a year or more just to go through all the work, you know, that it takes to become a nonprofit. But because we've never incorporated, we've never become a business, we've always had to use personal bank accounts and stuff like that for, you know, the stuff that we pay for. So the one thing that I'm doing, you know, I still have a goal of hopefully at some point converting us to some sort of nonprofit. But to start with, we're just going to do an LLC in my name because that will give us the ability. We'll actually have a business name. We could hire people if we needed to. I mean, we never will, but we could. And I can get a business bank account so that we could have, you know, we could even have multiple people on the business account. So if various members of the suits needed to have a credit card in the business name, you know, they could pay for things like at the event and stuff like that. So I filled out all the paperwork online and stuff with one of the companies that helps with that sort of thing. And the paperwork has been filed to become an LLC. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have the approvals and everything, and I'll have an LLC under Pride 48. And then I'm going to open up a business bank account, and we'll be able to put the link on the website again for people to start, you know, donating money again, because we're going to need money for the event that's coming up. I've also been working on a lot on the software that we're using for streaming now, the radio station software that we're using to run the stream, is really nice and really gives us a lot of features and scheduling and stuff like that that we didn't have before. But I chose to this because it's an open source software, which it's free, and you're able to contribute to the actual source code and add features and do stuff like that. And so I'm now having to learn the programming language that's in and how to set everything up to start doing development for that, because I've already found a couple of things that I would like to change, and also some bugs, some issues that they're not, you know, deal breakers. It's worth it because it's a free software, and you know, I can go in there and tweak it and play around with it and stuff and make it better. So it's worth it, but there are a couple of things that I would like to fix. And so I'm spending all this time learning how to set everything up so I can do development on it. And I've never really developed in the languages that they're using. So I'm having to learn that on top of all this work stuff that I'm doing. And I'm working on working with Dave in a Phoenix Dave and his company. I don't know if he's doing it personally or his company's doing it, but they're going to be working on a promo video for the New Orleans event. And so I've been gathering, he probably thinks I forgot about him, but I've been gathering up all the video footage that I've got from previous Pride 48s so that he can, you know, kind of comb through that and find the best bits to put in this little video. So I was working on that some more last night and trying to move stuff over to Google Drive. I have gigabytes and gigabytes worth of video. He's like, when he emailed me last, he's like, oh, I have a Google Drive. You can just throw everything in the Google Drive. He's like, I've got 2 gig. And he doesn't realize I've got like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 gig worth of video. He probably doesn't realize what he's gotten himself into, because I've probably got, you know, hours worth of video footage. But I really appreciate him volunteering to do that, and I love it when people volunteer to do stuff for Pride 48. We're a community organization, and anything that gets done, all of the time that anyone spends, it's always volunteered, including myself, you know, and everyone in the suits. So I'm really thankful and appreciative that when I put out that message in Facebook, Dave volunteered, and I'm really excited about working with him. But so I've been doing that, and I've also been once again trying to figure out where I'm going to stay. And of course, when I'm on my trip in New York and in London, and I really need to book stuff like this week. And I'm still going back and forth, especially in London, between Airbnb and a hotel. Because Airbnb, I found a couple of Airbnbs that are in nice locations, kind of in the Kensington and Chelsea sort of areas, which are really nice areas of London. And, you know, they're fairly affordable as well when you compare them to hotel prices. They're cheaper than hotels in a lot of cases. And you have a whole house to yourself. So you have, like, the one I was looking at, you have a ground floor living room and a kitchen and, like, a half bath that, you know, has access from the street. But then you also, you walk up some stairs and your bedroom's up there in the full bath. And it's only, like, I don't know, $150 a night or something like that. And for some people that may sound like a lot of money, but when you compare it to the hotels, there are hotels that are $300, $400, $500 a night, you know, that are not super, super nice. I mean, you could get a $100 a night hotel, but it's going to be like a roach motel, basically. But the problem is that, you know, like I said before, you don't have a fitness center, you don't have a gym, you don't have a spa, you don't have, you know, a restaurant there that you can order room service from. You know, you don't have all that. The check-in situation is kind of weird sometimes, because if it's an individual, sometimes you have to meet them in person, and you don't just have a check-in reservation desk that you can walk up to, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, hotels have shuttles to and from the airport and all that kind of stuff, but they're more expensive and busier. So, you know, like one I'm looking at is right in Leicester Square. And it's pretty expensive, but it's super, super bougie and nice, like really nice. And I'd feel really fancy staying there. But Leicester Square is really busy. It's like right near all the theaters and all that kind of stuff. And they say it's a really busy hotel. So, you know, getting there, first of all, might be an issue with my suitcases, trying to ride the train or the tube or get an Uber or something like that. And then, you know, and then it's going to be busy checking in, and I don't know. So I'm still trying to think about all that, but I'm hoping to make a decision today and get most of my stuff booked today. And I also have the new boss is in town this week, because normally he's in California, and he invited all of his employees or whatever you call us, the people that report to him, his direct reports, to dinner tonight. So I have dinner with the new boss, and so I'm going to be really busy. And I don't know how much time I'm going to have to spend on, you know, booking hotels and stuff like that. But, you know, at least it's for something exciting and whatever. Oh, and update on MoviePass. I know I had complained a lot on this that, you know, I had lost my MoviePass card. And for 3 or 4 months, I had tried to get a new card from them and I couldn't get a hold of their customer service. And when I did get a hold of their customer service, they weren't very responsive and nothing ever came in the mail. And so I finally canceled it I signed up again using a different email address. Same credit card, just different email address. And actually the email address, I used my same Gmail address, but some of you may not be aware of this, or maybe all of you are not aware, but if you have a Gmail address and you want to set up special filters for different sites and stuff like that, So my email address is adamburns.uk@gmail.com. Mark swears up and down I can leave the dot out of it, but whatever. So what I can do, let's say I want to sign up for a lot of different discount, you know, Banana Republic and Gap and whatever. But I want to be able to filter those out in Gmail really quickly. So I can actually add to my email address. So I could put adamburns.uk+, so the plus sign, retail@gmail.com, or whatever word I want, but just for the sake of this, we'll say retail. So I go adamburns.uk+retail@gmail.com. Then I use those to sign up for all of those services. And when those emails come in, I can actually filter in Gmail for the plus retail part and put that into a special folder. So all I did for MoviePass was I added plus MoviePass. That's the email address I used to register. MoviePass saw that as a different email address. They didn't see that as the same email address, even though it's actually coming to the same account. And now I can also filter out all the MoviePass emails into a separate folder in my Gmail account. So, I don't know. There's a cool little thing that you can do. So anyway, update on that. I signed up and my new card came in. So now I'm able now to use MoviePass again. So if you lose your card or you need anything done on your account, the best thing to do is to cancel the account and open a new one. Because their customer service sucks. Anyway, guys, I'm going to go ahead and end it here. You can find more episodes of the show over at geekygay.com. You can contact me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. You can call 229-234-7587. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBT-friendly podcasts over at pride48.com. And we have a State of the Station coming up on February the 11th at 8 p.m. Eastern. I hope to see you all there. We're going to have information about the hotel and some more information, and you guys are going to want to hear that. So I hope to see you there. I will see you guys in the next episode. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.